At IKEA at 1 Beard Street in Brooklyn, it's Conjunto Guantanamo. At Sullivan Hall, it's Leviathan, Penelope Lawson, Lunatic, Infinity, and the Snow. If you're outside New York, at Narbeth, Pennsylvania, Little Toby Walker will be at the Narbeth Summer Concert. And here's today's thought for the day. He who hesitates is probably right. Thank you for listening to the Concert Billboard and to WUSB in Stony Brook.
Where the time is 3 minutes after 6 o'clock, that means time for Off the Wall. Good evening, everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening. As we come to you every Tuesday evening to bring you what's, a different perspective on what's happening in the world and throughout our everyday lives. They're not always boring, you know. Sometimes everyday lives can be exciting. I was just actually thinking about ways that I like to spice up everyday life a little bit, and it's fun. You know, you can do this. You can basically take the most humdrum, boring situation in the world and just, you know, liven it up a little bit. Put some excitement into it. Life doesn't have to be boring. For instance, you ever try this? You ever actually try this? You go to places like you go to the dentist, for instance. Okay, these are people you see. How often do you see them? You're supposed to see them every 6 months, you know. But okay, some of us don't see them for a couple of years at a time. But you see the same people, and they always ask you the same questions. So, what are you up to? You know, what do you do? What's how are things going in your life? You know what? You don't have to tell them the truth. And life becomes so much more interesting when you just throw in a few lies occasionally. So, my dentist thinks I'm a completely different person than other people do. Oh yeah, they have the right name. But they think I've got this nice, normal family. You know, I've got a wife, Florence, and kids, Mary Beth and Salvatore. And they're going through grade school now. And I basically, every time I go there, I just give them another update on this fake family that doesn't exist. And it gets interesting because you have to make sure that the story tracks. You know, the kid can't be coming home from college or something when he was in third grade last time he got your checkup. So you got to be careful. It's not like they're going to be checking up on you, but they will know if you're telling a bold-faced lie that just doesn't make any sense. You have to manufacture some crises. You got to have some marital difficulties. Kids have to have bad report cards and fights and various things like that. You tell all kinds of stories. You even make it a little bit daring. You know, you say your wife works at the Pottery Barn down on Jericho Turnpike. Oh, why don't you stop by sometime? Yeah, we'll give you a discount. They never stop by. But they'll keep the conversation going forever, and you can keep coming back there for years and years and years. Yeah, my lawn guy thinks I served in Iraq. Totally different story. You got to make sure, though, that they haven't served in Iraq, too, you know, the first one. You got to make sure. That way you don't have to compare 432nd Infantry Division or whatever the language they talk about. But you have to know enough about it so that you can make up some pretty good stories and have them believe you. think of all the people that you run into on a fairly regular basis, but not people you see every day. Bartenders, doctors, dentists, all sorts of people. And it's just great to completely make up stories and become different people. Role-playing. It's what it is. It's just role-playing. I think it all started with the lady at the post office when I was mailing a letter. Kind of rushed in at the last minute. She was like, last minute greeting card for the wife or something like that. I'm like, okay, you want to intrude upon my life and assume what I'm doing and just put me into a particular position in life, fine, I'll play the game. And I said, yeah, and I came up with this whole big story about how, yeah, I was away for so long, and now I have to make amends and things like that. Actually, it doesn't make any sense. Why would you mail your wife a Valentine's Day card? I don't know. But I just played along with it, and I realized, this feels good. This feels good. I can make up all kinds of stories to people that don't matter, and they're never going to know. And is there anything really wrong with that? Oh, you don't lie to your friends. You don't lie to the people that matter to you. But what is wrong with when you see somebody that you're never going to see again, or you're only going to see them once every few months, or even few weeks, or even few years? What's wrong with telling them something that's not true, that's not going to affect them in any way, and that might be a little bit more entertaining? In fact, I think this should be required, because nothing is worse. And I can imagine the people that have to sell papers every day, work behind cash registers, having to hear boring stories. You know, a train conductor, having to hear all the boring nonsense that everybody goes in on the train, what they're living through every single day. No, spice it up. Spice it up. Consider it a challenge. Yeah, tell the guy on the train that... yeah, you know, your brother's an escaped convict, and he's somewhere on the loose in Pennsylvania right now, and there's a whole big thing going on. And just go into the family scandal a bit. Keep him riveted to the story. It might even prevent him from taking some more tickets and saving some people a fare. But basically, it should be a requirement that you tell good stories, not boring stories. And there should be a penalty if someone is able to confirm what you say and realize that you're telling the truth and that you're not even trying to make up a good story. There should be a penalty for that. All right? It's important for us to keep each other amused. It's important for us to make the rest of us just want to get through the days by riveting us with fascinating tales. I mean, isn't that what we've been doing since the caveman days, is telling each other stories, embellishing on the truth just a little bit? If everything was just reality, you know, it would be so boring and dull. You have to tell fiction. You have to tell lies. And it's true throughout our society. I mean, look at what's going on. Look at what's going on in television. Look what's going on in the movies, all right? You know that story, The Terminator? Lies. Never happened. Terminator 2, even bigger lies, all right? Wizard of Oz, never happened. Not one single bit of provable evidence that that story ever took place. Throughout the course of history, we have been telling lies to each other and getting praised for it, getting awards, getting paid. So what is wrong? What is wrong with you yourself going down and spreading all kinds of exciting stories about your non-existent life? I think it's something that that we should be striving for, competing for even. And it makes other people happy. It makes them think. It makes them tell your story to other people. And before you know it, you become an icon. And everyone is telling your tales. And I say tales because you're telling multiple tales. You're telling all sorts of different things to different people in different parts of the island, or the world, or wherever it is you happen to live. And, of course, yeah, there's an element of danger to it, because what happens if you run into one of these people in another situation? You know? You have to think fast. You have to say, oh, well, I'm actually in this singles bar when I'm married with happy kids and all that kind of thing because, well, I'm waiting for a friend here and we're going out to take him to an AA meeting or something. I don't know. We have to come up with something fast. I wouldn't be very good at that, obviously. Or maybe they will pursue things just a little bit and find your lies. Okay, you know what? So what? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. This is what I'd like everybody to do today, all right? This is an exercise for the listeners. Go out to somebody that you really won't see very often, or maybe even somebody on the phone. Call an operator. Visit the butcher. Go talk to the bus driver. And say something to them that's not outrageous, that's believable, but it's completely false. Say that you have a mother in Schenectady. Or a daughter you haven't seen in 15 years. And this only works, obviously, if you're more than 15 years old. Embellish a bit. Tell some good stories. See how it feels. You'll note the person that you tell it to, you know, they're not insulted because they don't know you're lying, first of all, and they're entertained because you're telling a good story. Now, what is the alternative to that? Saying nothing. Saying nothing, or even worse, telling the truth and boring them to death. So I'd like everybody in the next week to go out somehow to somebody you don't know and tell them a good story. Tell them something that's not true. And it could be, you could start off simple. Everybody has their own level of difficulty. So some of you might have to begin by calling the cable TV company and not pushing one and pretending you don't have a touch-tone phone. All right, it's true. You're telling something that's not true. It's not a very exciting story, but it's a start. It's a start down your path of embellishing, making things up, lying. But don't lie to your friends. Don't lie to the people you care about. In fact, get them involved in this because it's an awful lot of fun. Yeah, you know, I just made all that up. I actually didn't tell anybody anything. I just thought about this as I was walking in. Wouldn't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? Because this is how the whole chain of thought developed. I was walking in, and I had this little twinge in my tooth. I'm like, damn, I might have a cavity. I might have to visit the dentist. Got to go to the dentist. Have the usual conversations about my boring life and things like that. Wouldn't it be nice if I told them different stories? Of course, it's too late now because they already know me. And then it just sort of developed from there. So technically, folks, I just lied to all of you. But that doesn't matter either because I can't see you. You might not even be there. You know, it's even better. I'm just speaking into a microphone. You're the ones choosing to listen. So I'm not going to your face and telling you lies. I'm just talking here, and you're paying attention, and God knows why. But yeah, that's something that you could do to pass the time, if that's what you need to do. I've been passing the time, actually, in the last week. Well, I wish I could just pass time, but I've been working pretty hard on the conference, dealing with, oh my God. Well, first of all, if you don't know, we have a conference that's coming up in July. It's called The Last Hope. Hope stands for Hackers on Planet Earth. It takes place July 18, 19, and 20 at the Hotel Pennsylvania in New York City. And more information at www.hope.net. www.hope.net. And basically we're putting together the program. We have more speakers for this conference than ever before. It's enough to drive you crazy. Well, not you, the attendee, you, the organizer, if you're crazy enough to actually have to help put all this together. A lot of people helping putting this together, by the way, a lot, probably more than we've ever had. And it's going to be a blast. It's going to be amazing. We've got all kinds of great speakers showing up, and we'll have a full listing sometime this week of all the talks. So I've been going nuts with that, working basically, I guess, 18-hour days, like just starting and stopping and not really doing anything else. In fact, it got so bad. Just a side note here. It got so bad that yesterday, while I was out, I forgot what day it was because all the days have been the same. I've been doing the same thing every single day. So I was driving around. Suddenly, I thought it was a weekend, and then I realized, no, it's Sunday. No way, it's not Sunday. It's Monday. What day is today? Can somebody please help me? For a moment, I didn't even know how to find out. And yes, thank you. Thank you to the friend of mine who told me. Why don't you just look at your phone? I didn't think about that. I was so scatterbrained, I didn't even think. I'd just look at my phone, and my phone would tell me what day it was. It was so strange. It was like in a Twilight Zone episode. I literally did not... I couldn't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out. And think about it. Okay, phone aside, if you didn't have the phone to tell you what day it was, how would you know? How easy is it for you to know what day it is? It's not that easy. You can turn on the radio, but, you know, even if you listen to a news station, they'll tell you the time, but they very rarely tell you the day. And if you listen to any other radio station, you'll hear the same crap all the time. So it doesn't matter. If you hear a public service program, then you know it's Sunday night on a commercial radio station. That's really the only way you would know any day of the week. Now, obviously, a station like WUSB or other non-commercial stations, if you know the schedule, you could figure it out that way. If you don't know the schedule, you're still up the creek. I guess you could call an operator, maybe, and ask them what day it is, but they'll probably figure out a way to charge you for that if they don't hang up on you. So I've been going nuts, working crazy for the last, as long as I can remember, really. It's one thing after another, whether it's putting out a book, a magazine, doing radio or movies or putting together a conference. Just doesn't seem to end. But one thing that happens every couple of years, and for some reason, it always seems to happen when we're in the middle of putting together the conference, I guess because it happens in June and the conference happens in July. You have one of these world competitions in football or soccer, as we call it, and it's either the World Cup or the Euro tournament. And lately, it's been the Euro tournament. This year, it's Euro 2008 taking place in Switzerland and Austria. And I've just basically had the games on in the background. It's kind of difficult because you have to tape the games because they happen over there, and it's a lot earlier in the day when they play them. So basically, I tape them, just have them on in the background, and it's exciting to watch. Not so much because of the sport. The sport is exciting enough, but it's just the national intrigue. You know, every country has its own way of doing things, and if a country moves ahead that doesn't usually move ahead, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. People get the day off from school. There's national celebrations. Governments get involved, all kinds of things. And the interesting thing about soccer is that every single country plays it, and they all speak the same language. They all understand the rules. They all have their way of doing it. I don't understand how it works at all. First of all, I don't understand the offside rule, okay? And I don't know how to spot it. Basically, an offside rule, as simply as I can put it, which is about as complex as I can put it as well, it's basically when you're charging on your opponent's goal and you make a pass, not flirting, you make a pass to your other player with the ball. You pass the ball to them. And if they're ahead of all the other opposing players, and it's just them and the goal, that's considered offside. If they're there, as soon as you kick the ball, if they're ahead of those players, that's considered offside. If they move after you kick the ball ahead of those players, that's not offside. Okay, you know, I don't really understand the rationale behind it, but I certainly don't know how to constantly be looking to find somebody who's offside, but they do it all the time, and they all know these rules. It's just incredible. The hand signals, the gestures, the camaraderie, it's an incredible spectacle, even if you're not into sports at all. But it gets really complex and crazy. Like right now, it's still the first round. You have four divisions, four teams each, and they each play three games because they each play everybody in their division. And the two top teams in each division move on to the quarterfinals. So today is the third day of the last game of the first round. No, wait, that didn't make any sense. It did make sense, actually, because they basically play two games for 4 days. It's hard to explain. Basically, the first round ends tomorrow, okay? And that's the fourth day of the last game of the first round. You know, this isn't even the complex part, and already I'm making it sound complex. So basically, what they do during the last game, you play one game, then you play a second game, then you play the third game, and that's the last game. The two last games that are played on that day are played at the same time, the exact same time. That way, and they literally say it this way, there's no hanky-panky. And what that means is, one team could basically just play for a tie instead of a win, because if they just play for a tie, they know the result of the other game, and maybe a team that they would prefer to go through to the quarterfinals would go through if they didn't win. It gets so complex. And just to give you an example of how complex it gets, I'm going to read you something from the site, the official site of this tournament at UEFA.com. Now, today is Group C. All right, they have Group A, B, C, and D. It consists of the Netherlands, Romania, France, and Italy. Now, this is also interesting. France and Italy, if you recall, played for the World Cup 2 years ago, and Italy defeated France. And both of them are in last place in their division. And Greece. Greece won Euro 2004. They're the champions of this tournament. And they've already been eliminated. So, and I think they're the only team in the entire tournament not to score a goal. So it's really crazy. Meanwhile, countries like Romania are advancing. Well, actually, Romania has not clinched advancing yet. But if they do, it'll be a big deal in Romania. A big deal. So anyway, I'd just like to read you the conditions of what could happen today. And I know it already happened today, so please don't ruin it for me. I'll find out later. Netherlands is in first place. They have 6 points, which means they have 2 wins, 3 points per win. And that means they're definitely going through to the quarterfinals. Romania has 2 points. They had 2 ties, 1 point each. France has 1 point. Italy has 1 point. They each had 1 tie and 1 loss. No points for a loss. Okay, so here's what can happen. In their words, get ready. And think of your typical sports fan when you hear these words. Your typical American sports fan, would they be able to follow this? Again, top spot is decided in favor of the Netherlands, and second place Romania will join the Dutch in the quarterfinals by winning their encounter in Bern, Switzerland, which is where the game is being played. If Romania draw, which means tie, or lose, then that would allow either France or Italy to go through by winning their match in Zurich. The only way Les Bleus can progress. If Romania lose and the others play out a we've never used this word before, I don't think. What a score draw is, and it's very hard to say, it means a tie that is not 0-0. And you don't say 0-0 either, you say nil-nil. Instead of zero, you say nil. So I'm going to say nil from now on, I'm going to say draw instead of tie from now on. Just got to get used to it. Okay, if Romania lose and the others play out a score draw, Italy would go through in a three-way head-to-head tie on 2 points, as they would have scored more goals in the games involving France and Romania. You with me? Good. If Romania fall by one goal, if Romania fall by one goal, two goals, or by a three-goal margin, other than 3-0, in other words, they have to score a goal, even if they lose by three, and the other match finishes 0-0, Romania would advance, as their head-to-head record with Italy would be dead level, but they would have a superior overall goal difference, or in the case of the three-goal defeats, goals scored. If Romania lose by 4 goals or more, and the other game ends 0-0, Italy would proceed with a better overall goal difference than Romania. If Romania lose 3-0 and the other match finishes 0-0, Italy and Romania would have to be split on qualifying coefficients, in which case Italy would prevail 2.364 to 2.250. Oh my God, I have no idea. I mean, I was able to follow some of that, but that last part, I have no idea what I just said. But you can believe every football fan over there understands this. It gets so complex, it's insane. And you have people from all different countries, they all understand this. And that's what fascinates me, is just how complex it gets and how everyone seems to get it. Kind of like the train system over there. It's really complex, but it works. And you don't need to know any language to see how it works. So things like that, they just kind of draw me in. And that's what's been drawing me in as I've been going crazy working on the conference, just having that on in the background. So every conference I kind of associate with European football, or world football in the case of the World Cup. So, yeah, that's what's been going on. I suggest you try and see it if you can. I know they have it on the American sports networks. I've been watching it on the Canadian ones, and they just simulcast the British ones, which is pretty cool. We did this before. We did this years ago. where I compared the American coverage to the European coverage. And the American, they just cannot shut up. They're just constantly talking. There's two or three people going back and forth all the time. They're boasting about their network, saying, only here on ESPN will you see this. And just constant bragging and boasting about what they're doing, what they're covering, and how good they are. And meanwhile, on the screen, all these tickers and banners and flash animation and things like that. Now, you watch the British one, full screen, no banners, no flashy graphics. You have one guy speaking who's very animated when the time is right, and when the time is not right, he shuts up. He doesn't say anything. So you could have maybe 20 seconds of just hearing the crowd, and that's good. But when you need to know something, he tells you. And somehow, you know, when I have this on, I don't feel like a sports fan. I feel like I'm watching history, I'm watching part of the world. So, yeah, you know, those of you who condemn me for this, just understand that there's more going on. It's not just watching your mass media sports event. It's bigger than that. And the whole world gets it. Okay, yeah, Hope Conference. Definitely check out the Hope Conference. That's coming up pretty soon. I'm going to read some letters here because we do get a bunch of letters, and it's always nice to hear from our listeners. It's always good to know we have listeners, in fact. We'll try to take phone calls a little bit later. Write down the phone number for future reference, 631-632-9872. Had some good calls last week. Maybe we'll get some good calls this week. Let's see what we have as far as letters. Okay, dear Emmanuel, you think you have it tough in the U.S. with regards to gas prices. Take a look at this story on the BBC, which here it is. I printed it out. Signed Stu from Chelmsford, England. I'm sorry, England, by the way. England didn't qualify for Euro 2008. Not mocking you or anything like that, but I know football is really important to everybody in England. It's like everybody plays it. Everybody seems to be in a league. And somehow they didn't qualify. But yet I still believe they're paying attention. Okay, but anyway, Stu, yes, you know what? You said in your letter that you guys are now paying £1.99 per imperial gallon, getting close to $5 per gallon. Now, I think your arithmetic is a little off there, because I know for one thing that gas is more expensive in England than it is here. Now, an imperial gallon, okay, an imperial gallon is weird. It's about, what, 0.8 of a U.S. gallon? Yeah, they call it the same thing, but it's different. All right, so, £1.99, that's about $5, isn't it? It gets up there. Okay, but let's look at the story. The story says a petrol station has been charging £1.99 a liter. That's a liter, and that means more than £9 a gallon. Imperial gallon notwithstanding, but that's got to be something like $25 a gallon, right? Something like that. About 380 filling stations have experienced supply problems or closed altogether. The problems follow a strike by Shell tanker drivers in a dispute over pay. And basically that started a whole ripple effect. There's been panic buying all over the place. People have been coming in buying 80 to 100 pounds of fuel instead of 10 to 20 pounds. It's just funny. I've never saw this before. I'm just reading the story that I printed out before. And in the middle of the story, with the same font and everything, doesn't stand out in any way. It just says, please turn on JavaScript. Media requires JavaScript to play. It's part of the story. It's just printed out as if it was written in there. Well, you know what? I don't need JavaScript to read it over the radio, do I? I showed you. The service station owner said that we cannot get any more supplies. We're not being mean. The price will go back to normal as soon as we get a delivery. But even when the price goes back to normal, it's still going to be more expensive than it is here. And, I think it's good to have high fuel prices because it gets you thinking of alternatives, thinking of other ways to get around, other ways to have your society, to have it run, to have it operate. For instance, last week, this is a related story. to the high gas prices. And they're not even that high here. They haven't hit $5 a gallon yet, except for diesel. But I'm waiting. I hope it gets up there. I hope we get those SUVs off the road and people driving less and driving more economically and using more mass transit and having more mass transit. But listen to this. A nearly $15 billion Amtrak bill passed the House on Wednesday as lawmakers rallied around an alternative for travelers saddled with soaring gas prices. It's a direct link. The bipartisan bill, which passed by a veto-proof margin, means Bush cannot mess this up, veto-proof margin of 311 to 104, would authorize funding for the National Passenger Railroad over the next 5 years. Some of the money would go to a program of matching grants to help states set up or expand rail service. More trains. Yes, more trains, more train routes. Besides the $14.9 billion provided for Amtrak and intercity rail, an amendment to the bill would authorize $1.5 billion for Washington's metro transit system over the next 10 years. Now, the White House threatened a veto, yeah, saying the bill doesn't hold Amtrak accountable for its spending. But similar legislation has passed the Senate, also with enough support to override a veto. Nothing could be more fitting to bring before the Congress today on a day when gasoline has reached $4.05 a gallon across the United States on average. That's according to Representative John Mica, a Republican of Florida, a longtime Amtrak critic who teamed up with Transportation Committee Chairman James Oberstar on the legislation. Oberstar sounds like a train itself. Amtrak's previous authorization expired in 2002. The railroad supporters say that a new authorization would allow Amtrak to make long-range plans and take advantage of what they say is a growing appetite for passenger rail. Unlike the Senate version, the House bill includes a requirement for the Department of Transportation to seek proposals from private companies to create a high-speed service that would take travelers from Washington to New York in 2 hours or less. It means it would be quicker to get to Washington from New York than to get to New York from Long Island. Amazing. The idea has long been championed by Mica, who says the United States must catch up with European and Asian countries on high-speed rail travel. I mean, that's a good thing, but it's not really the best thing because, yeah, the Northeast Corridor between New York and Washington, D.C., that's the best rail that we have in this country. And it's good to make it better, but, you know, we really have to focus on getting more rail between more places and making that good. But I guarantee you, the price of gas keeps going up. It'll happen. This is what I've been hoping for years. Let's hope we finally see it. And what else is going on? Big city mayors told Congress on Thursday they are overwhelmed by the infrastructure needs of their regions and cannot maintain well-functioning water systems, roads, and rail networks without more federal help. We're having a quiet collapse of prosperity, said Kansas City, Missouri Mayor Mark Funkhauser. That's a real name? Funkhauser, okay. One of four mayors, I thought it was just on the Larry David show there was a Funkhauser. I didn't know that was a real name. Okay, one of four mayors to testify before the Senate Banking Committee about the state of the nation's infrastructure, which they agreed was poor and getting worse. What's worse than poor? Non-existent, I guess. They blame much of the decay on short-sighted thinking by local, state, and federal officials. So, more attention to infrastructure, more attention to mass transit. These are good things. Think about that when you see the gas prices. Think about ways that you can survive without your huge vehicles, because there are definitely ways. Okay, what else do we have? All kinds of letters here. Where do I go first? How about over here? I'm a listener from the UK. I used to listen to Off the Wall and Off the Hook a lot a few years back, but circumstances have made it more difficult until recently when I bought a standalone internet radio. In fact, you read out a letter of mine on Off the Hook back before the 2004 presidential elections discussing electronic voting. Anyway, I caught your show last night. I was intrigued when you talked of people not standing during the national anthem. Here in the UK, it's quite unusual to stand and is seen as a little old-fashioned. But I digress. Actually, I recall a Monty Python episode where everybody stood when the national anthem was played. I think that was when the Queen tuned in or something. But maybe they were kidding. Anyway, last year I made my first visit to the USA and went to see a baseball game in Washington, D.C. I attended with an American friend, and more out of respect for her, I stood during the national anthem, which felt kind of weird. Yeah, it's a good point. When you're in someone else's country, it's good to respect whatever you're asked to do, unless it's completely insulting and horrible. When I was in North Korea, I did things I wouldn't normally do. And if you're here and you're with people that feel the need to stand for the national anthem, it's polite to do that. No problems there. Anyway, continuing. This year I'm coming to New York for a week from July 24th to July 30th with an English friend of mine. Wait a minute. You write to us here at Off the Wall, and you say you're coming to New York for a week from July 24th to July 30th, knowing that we have a conference scheduled for July 18th through 20th in that same city. And you think we wouldn't catch that? Oh, no, my friend. We caught that. You're coming the week after the conference, not during the conference. Maybe we just didn't focus enough time on the conference to let people know about it. Well, folks, it's July 18, 19, and 20. And yeah, the hotel's sold out now. But there are plenty of places to stay, and cheap places, too, and more information is on hope.net. And it's okay if you don't want to come to the conference. Go to the Met game instead, which is what they're doing. Going to a Met game, your show last night got me thinking, since we are two British citizens and neither of us particularly patriotic, should we stand at that game? Again, you know, I would advise just looking at what other people are doing around you and trying to fit in, because you're visitors, you know, you're visiting a foreign nation, and I mean, why don't go to other countries and make political statements against regimes there? Unless that's what people are doing around me, you know, then I'll just join in with everybody else. But basically, do whatever makes you feel comfortable. I think that's the best advice. Also, I understand if you can't, but can you recommend anything worth doing in New York? That's a little off the beaten track. Something the guidebooks won't know about. Signed, Lewis from Essex. Gosh, something off the beaten path in New York? Oh, boy, what are you going to do? There are so many things. I wouldn't know where to begin. The best thing you could possibly do, seriously, is just walk around the streets. Walk around, go downtown, go to the East Village, the West Village, maybe Midtown in the middle of the day, and just walk around. Every block will have something that you've never seen before. And just listen. Listen and watch. Because those are the things that you'll see that no guidebook will be able to find, because it only happens once, the things you see. Write them down. Take pictures. Try as much different kinds of food as you can. Don't just try the things that you're familiar with. But, you know, we got a lot of mail about standing up for the Pledge of Allegiance and for the National Anthem. And so much, in fact, that I tracked down this song that sort of fits in with the whole idea of sitting down, or even lying down in the case of civil disobedience, where people lie down and refuse to move, block traffic, things like that. Really annoy people that want to get on with their day-to-day life, but in a way, these are idealistic people thinking about ways to make their lives better, a way to make everybody's lives better by bringing attention to something. So civil disobedience is an important thing. Should be respected. Unless it gets in your way. But this song in particular has a great refrain that I don't understand why this has not become an anthem in every passive resistance, civil disobedience movement that has ever happened. Because the refrain of this song is just so incredibly perfect for that. I'm going to play it now. It's called Lie Down and Be Counted. And see if you can guess who it is.
There's no song for the singer, no words for the tune. There's a mess in the message and a man on the moon. There's no plan in the planet, so gone berserk. There's a milk bottle shortage and the traffic lights don't work. Lie down and be counted, don't take any more. Lie down and be counted, But there's hope for the couple. Stroll in the park. There's nuclear power to light up the dark. There's national health and ice in the fridge. And the occasional cat on a motorway bridge. There's extended credit on easier terms. Something to kill all no household germs. There's sofas and armchairs and washing machines. Stars on Sunday, fish fingers and beans. Lie down and be counted. There's a mess in the message and a man on the moon. There's no plan in the planet, it's all gone berserk. There's an everything shortage and the traffic lights still don't work.
Lie down and be counted. You know, that would just be so great to chant at every single march and rally. Lie down and be counted. Don't take any more. What are we standing for? I mean, it works on a metaphorical level and a literal level and all sorts of things like that. It just sounds good. I've never heard that chanted. Hopefully the next protest I'm witness to or part of will hear that being sung out loudly and proudly. Didn't guess who that was? That was Neil Innes. Neil Innes, yes. Now, it's interesting because this guy has been around for a while, and so many people have not heard of him, and he really deserves better. This was the brains behind the Ruddles, and I hear rumors that we're going to be going out with a Ruddles song tonight. Ruddles being the parody band of the Beatles, made a brilliant film, and he was also in the Bonzo Dog Doodah Band, which many of you might have heard of, or maybe not. But I just found out also, I really just found this out, that there is a movie coming out this year called The Seventh Python. I mentioned Monty Python earlier. Neil Innes was also involved with Monty Python to a degree, and he was considered the Seventh Python. The tagline to this movie, the most famous rock star you've never heard of, the accidental career of Neil Innes, encompassing the Bonzo Dog Band, A Magical Mystery Tour, Monty Python's Flying Circus, Saturday Night Live, The Ruddles, and beyond. So look for that film, documentary, The Seventh Python, all about Neil Innes and his career and the things that you might never have known. Wow, incredible. Incredible the things that you learn. Shall we go into delay? Let's go into delay and open up the phone lines.
This is Lenny Kay from the Patti Smith Band. You're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM from Stony Brook.
Wow, I did that fast this time, didn't I? Did it actually work? That's the question. I just kind of suddenly went into delay, but it did work. It did work. Okay, that's good. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, if you have any questions or comments or things like that. Here's a recurring comment from a few people. I just got my invoice from a pledge I made back during the Radiothon. It has a 2600 sweatshirt as my premium, but I wanted 2 Hope tickets. I tried calling the service number, but didn't get anywhere. If we can get this fixed, that would be awesome. Okay, here's the deal. A few people have written in saying that they weren't charged. I think everybody has been charged now, right? I certainly hope so. If you haven't, let me know. Email otw@2600.com. In fact, if you pledged For Hope tickets during our fundraiser during the spring, and not for the other radio station, for this radio station, for Off the Wall, send email with your information, including your name, including your address. That way we have it, and then we can double-check in our computer and make sure that it matches and make sure that it got charged and fix it if it didn't. But please write to us with that information. We will get to everybody one way or another. We always do. But sometimes things get caught up in bureaucracy, and it takes a little bit longer. Remember, otw@2600.com, that's our email address. Let us know if you pledge for something, or pledge for the Hope tickets specifically. Okay, again, our phone number is 631-632-9872. Only have a few minutes left, but let's go through a couple more of the letters that we got in the last week or so. Dear Emmanuel, today I tune on my TV and zap through the channels. Being stuck with what's probably the worst cable provider in Germany, I didn't expect anything intelligent to be on. The provider is so bad, they charge extra for Al Jazeera International. All right, let me redefine the definition of bad, okay, what a bad cable provider is. You have a bad cable provider because they charge you extra to get Al Jazeera International. Do you know, I don't think there's a single cable provider in this country that will even provide Al Jazeera International, because we still believe in this country that they're terrorists. We're told that Al Jazeera is the same thing as Al-Qaeda. In fact, they're a very interesting network and a very educational network, and I would love to get them, and they broadcast in English now. But try to find a single cable system anywhere that will carry them in the United States. I'd pay extra for them. I'd pay extra right away. Now, I'm not ungrateful, because our local cable company, Cablevision, does a pretty good job with international news. They have Euronews. They have BBC World. I'm happy for that. I really am. But we need more. We need more variety, more diversity. So Al Jazeera International, yeah, I'd love to see that carried here. I know you can get it free to air. I don't have one of those big dishes, and even if I did, I don't have a way of seeing the satellite. Too many trees and things in the way. Anyway, continuing with this letter, I'm sorry. I was surprised to see The Daily Show, and I have to say this was the first intelligent thing I have seen in a decade on that channel. It turned out to be a special international edition of the show produced for CNN International. Signed, Cassandra. Yes, Cassandra, we have mentioned this before. The Daily Show can be seen on CNN International and other parts of the world. And it's interesting because CNN is a news network, and it airs, Daily Show airs on Comedy Central here in this country because it's a parody show. But if you understand that, and I think a lot of people do, then it's a good way to look at the news, just sort of through different eyes. So, yeah, that's a bit of fun right there. What else? We're getting no calls. I went into delay. This is what happens. I go into delay before the calls come in, and I'm made a fool of. We only have 5 minutes left to take these phone calls, you know. So let's see some phone calls come in. 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB, whether you're local, whether you're out of the area. We want to hear from you. Here's another letter. Dear Emmanuel, listening to your show from 2 weeks ago, I couldn't help but laugh when you told about pushing your car through the drive-through lane at a restaurant. Yeah, it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. Smart car broke down in a Taco Bell drive-up. Everybody's dream. Hopefully, it is some consolation for you to know that you're not alone. My car has a habit of overheating in the hot weather. So last summer, when I was waiting in a long drive-through line, I turned off my engine, only for it not to start again when the line started moving. So we, of course, had to push the car through, collect our food from the window on the way, then continue out. I imagine that pushing a smart car would be a lot easier than pushing my old 1981 Ford sedan. That's true. It just looks a lot sillier. On another note, just today I noticed a car with an Obama 08 bumper sticker on it. And while this may not seem odd at first, when you take into account that I'm in Melbourne, Australia, it puts it into context. While perhaps a futile gesture of support all the way over here, it does make clear that the outcome of the next presidential election will have effects reaching people far beyond the shores of the U.S. I believe that's not only good for the U.S., but for the entire world to see a change, not a repeat of the last 8 years. Signed, Josh. Amen to that. We'll see if the American public actually agrees. You know, I know what it is. I know why people aren't calling, and I'm sorry. It's because I lied before, because I told that story, and I basically didn't tell the truth. But I told you that I was lying, didn't I? I made up the story. But, you know, you pay money to see stories. You go to the theaters and you see stories there, and you pay a lot of money for that. You pay your cable television bill. You pay your satellite bill. You read books, don't you? Yeah, those are all lies. All stories, all made up. So why can't I make something up without people getting all upset? I'm refusing to call. Yeah. 631-632-9872. I don't think this has ever happened before. Are we on the air? Maybe the delay is not working at all. No, I think it is. It looks like it's working here. 631-632-9872. Maybe the stream is not working. That seems to be happening a lot lately, but we'll check that out after the show. Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I could go into another letter, but it's a long one, and if I start this letter, I might not end it before the time is up. I'll give you about 10 seconds. Then we'll go into this letter, 631-632-9872. I know that people on the Internet are delayed a little bit, but still, you know, I've been giving out the phone number for a while now. And there's two calls. Okay, guilt does work. Lying and guilt, those are the two lessons from this show. You should learn that they work. Good evening, you're on the radio. Speak up, please. They hung up. You got to stay on the line. Good evening, you're on the radio. Hello, is anybody there?
Oh, yeah, hold on a second. Let me shut off my computer.
Okay. I'm assuming your computer has me on it. That's the only reason you want to do that.
Over the Internet.
Okay, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Bethpage, Long Island.
And you're listening to us on the Internet?
Yeah, listening to you live on the Internet.
Because I think our signal goes there.
Yeah, it works.
Okay.
They changed the website around, and it was very difficult to figure it out. I had to register to be able to listen to you guys live.
You have to register to listen to us?
Something, I don't know. The website between last week and this week totally changed?
Well, it's a new website, no question about that. I think it looks a lot better, but there are a few...
better, but it was kind of confusing. I had to download Winamp and things like that.
Yeah, sometimes you have to download new programs and things, but we're not taking your information for you to listen to us, are we?
Well, no, I just used a dummy email account anyhow, so it doesn't matter.
Well, now we have a pile of calls. Can you tell us anything that's on your mind?
I just love your show. I've been listening forever, and I heard you complaining about getting no calls, and I figured I'd just give you a ring and see.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. I hope I wasn't annoying by complaining. I hope I wasn't annoying by lying before.
No, man. All right. It's all good. It's all good. You have a very good show.
Okay, well, that's good to know. It's always good to hear that.
Because
sometimes you forget, you know, you think that you don't have a good show because nobody's telling you, you know, patting you on the back.
But you know, yeah, you're doing a good job. You're doing a stand-up job. It's okay. It's very entertaining.
Good to have your ego stroked occasionally.
It's
always nice. And you, by the way, are a fine caller, and you have good resonance in your voice. It's good to hear from people in Nassau County.
Yeah, you know, it's, like I said, I've been listening for a long time.
Okay.
I'm nervous being on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know, you're handling it quite well. You're doing a very good job. I would think you'd be on the radio more often, actually.
Yeah? Okay, well, if you ever need somebody to waste some time on your air, I'll be...
we always do.
Yeah?
Always
okay, do. I'll try to call again then.
All right, thanks. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
And everybody else hung up. But you know what? That was worth it. There's enough compliments flying back and forth there to fuel a nation for a while. Okay, so let me pop out of delay now, and here I am live. Thanks again for the call. Thanks to the people who called in but didn't get on the air. It's the effort that counts, I guess, right? Yeah. Our email address, again, otw@2600.com, and we would love to hear from you as far as your likes, your dislikes, fill us in on various stories that are going on, especially those of you who pledged during the spring fundraiser. Let us know if you pledged, how much you pledged, if you were charged, that kind of thing, because we want to make sure everybody gets their hope tickets in time. And again, those of you interested in attending the most interesting hacker event of the year, maybe of many years, visit www.hope.net, and hopefully we'll see you at the Last Hope Conference. Okay, now we're going to go out with another Neil Innes song, this time with the band The Ruddles. One of the more happy pieces. Good night.
Many years from now, when your grandchildren climb up on your knee, you may be quite astonished to see how many channels they can change on TV. When some old film in black and white granddad. The little ones are asking you, why do you look so sad? So you tell them all about the fun you had.
Long, so long, it's all